First time using an earpiece mic, so we'll see how this goes. Feel a little more official, I guess. So if you guys go ahead and turn in your Bibles to, first of all, we'll be looking at 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. 1 John 4, 19, that verse I just shown there in the video. Now, many times in our Christian lives, we go through struggles in our lives. Even right now, think of the times we're going through. We're going through the coronavirus, we're going through all these people rioting, stuff like that. There's many struggles in the world today. And we many times focus on our lives. We focus, what's next in my life? What's the next project I need to do? What's going on tomorrow? And in all the things that go on in our life are focusing on, what do I need to do? What do I need to do next? Rather, our focus shouldn't be focused on ourselves. Everything's about us many times. That's the way it shouldn't be. Now, Christ came down to earth. He came down out onto earth as a human being, lived a perfect life. You know, he had the same kind of struggles that we did. He faced temptations. He was hungry, he was thirsty, and he was ridiculed by many others. And you know, that could be even possibly described by many of us today. We go through struggles in our lives. But you know what, Christ, in spite of all those trials he went through in his life, he was still focused on loving others and serving others. He wasn't self-centered. Rather, he was centered on other people's lives. Why was that? Why was Christ centered on other people's lives rather than himself? He could have come down here to earth, and he could have had everyone worship him if he wanted to. He could have lived the life, he could have lived the dream, have all the attention of everyone. Rather, he gave all his attention to everyone else. Why is that? Simply, it's because Christ is love. God is love. And because of his love, he reaches out to others. As Christians, we as well can be the same. We can have that love in our lives. We can reach out to others in this world today. Loving others is only possible through having experienced it. So you guys there in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it's a short verse. It's a very easy verse. Many of us can memorize. We love him because he first loved us. Just as was described in the video there, it's not us loving God first. It's not us trying to love God and then he loves us because of our love to him. It's because of Christ's love to us. And what is Christ's love? It's simply because he came down to earth and died for us on the cross. So we want to pay for our penalty. But first of all, we see the source of love, just God's love. In 1 John chapter 4, we see in verses 7, 8, 10, 12, and 16. All these verses are about God's love, even on. You see many verses about God's love. And all these verses simply talk about, if we know God, we have God's love. And how do we know God? Simply by spending time with him daily in his word. And that's the thing I struggled with when I was younger. Spending time with God's word. Many of the younger people in here know this, because I've talked about this many times on Wednesday nights in the children's church. My struggle when I was younger, when I was their age, was spending time in God's word in the mornings. Many times, when you wake up in the morning, you are tired. You don't want to get out of bed. You'd rather sleep in, hit the snooze button, do what you want to do, rather than going to God's word and reading what he has for you. But if we're to know God, if we're to know his love, we got to spend time with God. And right there in the morning is a good point in our lives where we're going to show our sacrifice to God by sacrificing of our pride and being humble and giving up what we want so we can serve God, so we can see what he wants for us. If we know God, we have love. You know, many times we try to force out God's love in our life. We try to say, all right, I'm going to love this person. I hate this guy, but you know, I'm trying to show love to this person. And that doesn't work out. Many times I think of when I was younger. I played on baseball team for about 8 to 9 years, somewhere around there. And there's this guy on the baseball team I absolutely hated. His name was Casey Cooper. I just couldn't stand him. He was a bully to me the whole entire time. And my parents would say, do you want to ignore him? You got to show love to him? You're a Christian. You got to be an example. All right, I'll try to show love to him. I don't know if I can, but I'll try. I'll try showing love to him, and he'll just be bullied right back, and you know what I'll do? I'll just give up. And it doesn't work when you try to show love in yourself. Your love doesn't work. It's only God's love. You have to let God's love shine through your life. Do you have God's love shining through your life? No, everything that comes into our life is a gift. You can think of many things that come to your life. Many hard trials coming, and you say, why would that be a gift? Why would God bring those hard trials in your life? You know, many times you don't understand why God brings hard trials in our life. God says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. Every good gift comes from God. And you know what? It may not seem good in our lives, but you know what? It may not seem good in Job's life either. You know, Job had all these horrible things happen to him in his life. Yet he decided to worship God. He had God's love in his life. He was humble. You know, I gave this illustration, a personal testimony to the teens a few weeks ago, share with you guys. It was about a year and a half, just coming on to 2 years now, ago, that I was traveling back to college. I live in Pennsylvania and college is out in Wisconsin. And I was traveling back to Wisconsin with my brother, and we had one other guy who was traveling with us. We decided to carpool, save gas, stuff like that. And we're driving back to Wisconsin on Thanksgiving break. So it was a little cold out. It was misting outside that morning. We had to leave early in the morning. And we get onto the interstate. It's misting, it's getting cold. I'm driving, and I started noticing that there's ice starting to form over the windshield. I didn't take much notice of it, didn't care. Noticed there was some traffic happening along the sides of the road, stuff like that. But I continued going, I just ignored the ice freezing over the windshield, I just wiped off my windshield wipers. Kept going, and it was maybe about 3 to 4 hours in the trip. We were on the interstate, we're coming up over this hill. And as we came up over this hill on the interstate, we noticed that there was stopped traffic right in front of us. So your natural instinct is, of course, to hit the brakes. Well, I hit the brakes, and I can tell you that didn't work. Immediately, we hit black ice on the interstate. We're going about 70, 75 miles per hour on the interstate. Here we are, hitting black ice, hitting the brakes. The brakes aren't working, so I start pumping the brakes. Well, that's not working either. And there's a moment when you're driving that car, all of us realized it, that we're going to crash. So we realized we got to prepare for it, so just hold on tight, whatever. There's a truck, I believe it was a Ford, in front of us. But we realized, you know what, we're going to hit this truck, so we braced for it. We braced for it, and we hit the truck 70 miles per hour, whatever. He saw us coming. He prepared for it as well. And our car was absolutely totaled. As soon as our car came to a stop, my brother, he was in the passenger seat right beside me, and there was blood literally all over in front of him. He couldn't tell where it was coming from at first. He had blood on the pillow with him. My friend, he was laying down in the back seat, so he kind of flew forward into the seat right behind where I was driving. He hurt his arm a little bit. I was totally fine there in the driver's seat. We hopped out, the car was smoking a little bit, and the car was absolutely totaled. It was gone. I mean, there you are on the interstate, it's drizzling outside, it's cold. And here we are, about 3 to 4 hours from home. Car is totaled, absolutely not what we have planned. We're going to college, and we're actually, the next day we had midterms for college. So it's absolutely not good timing at all for us to have this come to our lives. So there we are trying to solve the problem, and the first thing we do is call our parents. We can't believe what's happening. So we call our parents, tell them the story, and they try to figure out something we got to do. Start calling people. We know absolutely no one in the area. 4 hours from home, we know no one in the area. Well, here, our friend, he called his dad, Pastor Mawson. Many of you guys know him. It was Steve Mawson who's riding with us. Pastor Mawson, he called, and he realized that actually my home pastor, Pastor Madrid, he happened to be only about maybe half hour, 45 minutes from where our car crashed. And he doesn't even live anywhere near there. He lives back home 4 hours back from where we came from. And here, he happened to be only half hour from where we were. It happened to say he was at a camp, and he was just leaving the camp. And as he was just leaving the camp, he got the phone call and realized he could come and help us. So there we were in that situation. Do you know what? God brought that situation to our lives. And yet, is God good? You guys can answer tonight. Is God good? Yes, God is good. He prepared that situation, and he had our pastor right there for us, ready to pick us up, because he realized that was going to happen. God knew everything that's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen in our lives in the future. And God there, he prepared our pastor. He was able to pick us up in his 18-passenger van, and we went to the hospital, first of all, because we didn't know if my brother had a broken nose or a broken eye or whatever. Got a CAT scan, ended up being fine, but he had a black and blue eye for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And traveled home, got back home later that evening, and the day did not turn out any more than we expected. Well, I can tell you that's not where it ended. So we decided, you know what, we're going to get plane flights. We're going to get plane flights out to Wisconsin. We can't drive there now because we have a total car. We don't even have a car anymore. So now we're going to try to fly. Let's try flying. So we got tickets for the next day on Sunday. And we were going to fly out from Baltimore the whole way to Chicago. So we get the tickets. It's in the evening. We drive the 2 hours to Baltimore. Get ready to board our plane. Our parents leave and head back home. And we arrive there a half hour early just so we can be ready for the plane and stuff. And right before we about to board the plane, they announce over the system, due to weather conditions over in Chicago, we're not going to be able to take off at the moment. We'll keep you updated. Oh, great. That's not what I had planned either. So we continued waiting for the next report. They said, all right, we'll go ahead and board the passengers now. All right, good. We're on board. At least that's a step closer. So we board the plane. Everyone starts buckling and stuff. And about the time, I would say maybe 5 minutes after everyone boarded the plane, they announced over the plane speakers. Unfortunately, due to the conditions over in Chicago, the snow that's falling over there, we're going to have to cancel this flight. So we're going to have to ask everyone to unboard the plane, and you have to go to a desk and figure everything out yourself. That's not exactly what it said, but that's what it sounded like. So we unboarded the plane, and there we were in Baltimore, me and my brother and Steven Mawson, stuck in Baltimore now. Our parents are not going to help us out. It's already maybe 10 o'clock in the evening. So we started calling people. Here is Steve Mawson. He had a friend that was actually, I forget how he knew him, whatever, but that friend was able to get us a hotel that was only maybe less than 5 minutes from the airport. We got the hotel for free, and we got transported back and forth from hotel for free as well. So that was a huge blessing. And God is good. He was able to provide for that. And we were able to get tickets for the next day, so we got tickets for the next day. But I can tell you what, that's not where it's ended. So I continued on. We hopped on the plane the next day, and we took off. Everything's working fine, so at least we're in the air now. We are at least going to have to land. So we thought. So we were flying over to Chicago, and they say they haven't been able to clear the runways of Chicago Airport yet, so we'll have to fly in the air for a little bit till the runways are cleared. So we decided, the pilot flying around a while, maybe 15 minutes later, the pilot says, well, we're not going to be able to stay up in the air forever because we'll eventually run out of gas. So we're eventually, if that happens, we'll have to land at a different airport. Okay, we'll have to land at a different airport. We'll arrive later or whatever. So eventually that's what happened. And that's what happened to about maybe 15, 16 other planes. They landed at that airport as well. So they absolutely packed the airport. And there were some passengers on the plane that had to onboard at that airport. They wanted to actually onboard at that airport. So we tried to figure out, it's like, all right, this is not where we want to be. We want to be in Chicago, not this small airport, wherever it's at. So we asked, hey, we tried to figure out which is closer. Is the Chicago airport closer or the airport we're at now is closer? The Chicago airport, I believe, is about maybe 2 hours from our college. And we looked at this airport, and this airport actually only ended up being maybe 45 minutes, an hour from our college. So it was actually a blessing. And there were, again, something we totally had not planned, something that God brought into our lives that looked bad, looked nothing that we wanted, but yet God was good. And you know what? Because of God's love, He wants the best for our lives. And everything that He brings into our lives is good. Many times we not realize that at first, but God planned each step at a time. You know, I didn't plan for our car to break down, for a flight to be canceled, and to land at a different airport that we wanted to. But God, He planned that whole path ahead. And God has a perfect plan for each and every single one of us. And He loves us. He wants to give us that plan. So where are we at, Christians? Are we abiding in God's love? Are we continually going to Him each day to know God's will for our lives? So not only do we see that God is love, and that where the source of love comes from is from God, But next we see that we have to abide in love. Turn to John chapter 14, John 14. John 14, verse 23. John 14, 23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him and will come unto me and make our abode with him. Here we see abiding in God's love simply by keeping God's commandments. We can abide in God's love by keeping the commandments that he gives us. When we obey God, we are loving him. When we are obeying God's voice, what he tells us to do each and every single day when he speaks to us, we are loving him. You know, we are loving God when we choose to give the gospel to others. That's a commandment that God has given to us. The Great Commission, to go into all the world and give the gospel to every creature. Are we doing that? If we're not, are we loving God? Where's our love for him? If we love God, we will keep his commandments. Also, it's kind of like just as father gives rules to his children in the house. It's because he loves him. That's why God gives commandments to us. You know, a father just doesn't let a child go say, hey, do what you want, and let the child run free, do whatever. That's not showing love. A true father, when he loves his children, he gives commands, say, all right, I'm going to do this. Don't get close to the fire. Don't touch this. Don't do that. And you know what? Many times as Christians, we can look at it as two ways. We say, oh, you know, it's God's rules. He doesn't love us. He's limiting us to what we can do. You know, this sin over here, that looks fun. Why can't we do that? This kind of music, what's wrong with that kind of music? Well, simply, God gives commands in our Bible. If we look into God's word and search what God wants for us, it's because of God's love. God's love for us. We also see that God's love is constant. In John 14, right there where you are at, John 14, 23b, says, and he'll come and make our abode with him. Abode simply means making a dwelling there, abiding. So we love God and keep his commandments. The Father in return constantly abides with us. If we love God, if we keep his commands and do what he tells us to do, he'll come, he'll be with us, and then we'll have God's love in our life so that whenever we need to love others, God's love will be shining from our life. And this abiding, it's not something we have to try to keep. All right, I'm trying to love God so that he abides with me. I'm trying to love God so he abides with me. No, that's not what it is at all. Simply, God keeps it for us. When God constantly lives in us, we'll constantly have God's love in our life. So Christian, where are you at? Do you have God's constant love in your life? Is he abiding in you? If he is, are you obeying his commandments? Thirdly, we see the command to love. First of all, we are to love others as ourselves. We love our neighbors. There's actually 8 verses in the Bible that say, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Go ahead and turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, we look at verses 37 to 39. Matthew 22, 37 to 39 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We love God first, then we can love others. Here, if we don't love God first, we're not going to be able to love others. And that's how we can love others. That's how we can love this world who is in such a dark and miserable state, who don't have peace in their lives. We try to love others that we even hate, don't have love for. We first have to love God. And simply by loving God, we have to abide in his word, meditate on who God is, and realize who God is in our lives, and realize what he has done for us. Loving God, and then loving others. Now, we had I believe I told this to the teens last week in Sunday school, when I preached to them. We have, right where I live, next door, we actually have a rock band that lives there. And this isn't actually like a typical rock band, it's actually more of a death metal rock band, whatever, if any of you guys know what that is. Basically sounds like the singer's dying in the house, they're yelling. But anyway, We had them move in maybe, I don't remember, maybe 3-4 years ago, and we had such a problem with them. We had cops come over so many times because they're disturbing the peace, and they are so loud, and we could not stand them. We just didn't know what to do. We tried to pray for them, whatever, and we couldn't love them. What they're doing, many things happened over there, stabbings, whatever, cops flooded the area. But anyway, we decided, you know what, we're going to try to have God's love for these people. So what we'll do, we'll just do small acts of kindness. Like Christmas time will come, we'll bake cookies, whatever, go over there. Once in a while, if we see them in the front yard or backyard, we'll just go over there, talk to them, and try to build a relationship with them. You know what, many times, once we got to know them, they didn't happen to seem very bad people. They were actually pretty normal, just besides the way they looked. They were normal people. And there was nothing wrong with them, besides their singing and their looks. But we were able to build a relationship with them, and we were able to reach out to them after a while. And you know what? We were able to build a relationship with them, and the more we happened to build a relationship with them, the more we were able to get along with them. And we were able to show God's love easier to them. And you know what? They actually started to like us, believe it or not. And we were able to show them God's love, and that's something we can't do as ourselves. We can't go to someone that we absolutely hate and just love them as ourselves. We have to let God live through our lives and let God's love shine through us. That's only going to happen when you spend time with God, when you draw near to Him. So are you loving others? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself, doing for them as you would? Matthew 7:12. Turn a few pages back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things, whatsoever ye would that men do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Question for you tonight. Are you guys looking out for others? Are you constantly trying to see what you could do for others? Small chores. Maybe mow a lawn for someone. Maybe help paint their house or whatever. Whatever they need done. Beginning of this 8-week period I was able to be here, Pastor Foster, he challenged me to just have an ear out for if anyone needed help with anything, I could help them out, whatever they need help with. It was actually a big challenge to me, and it was actually quite eye-opening. Every single conversation I was listening to, I was always kind of listening, is there anything that's breaking down for them that I could try to help? Is there any yard work that they might need done? Is there any types of things they need help with? And when we have that kind of mentality, it kind of changes our whole perspective. We're putting others first rather than ourselves. Again, that takes humility. It gets rid of our pride. When we try to look out for others, help them in our lives, we're showing God's love through our life. So are we loving others? God served. He came down here to serve others, and He wasn't served. That wasn't His goal. That wasn't His purpose. We are only going to be able to love others if we ourselves have received God's love. Now, it's kind of like a race when they hand the baton over. The whole race isn't about running how fast you can, although that is a big part of it. It's about getting the baton to the finish line, and that's the whole purpose. Now, if you hand the baton to someone else and they don't take it, they're not going to be able to continue running with that baton. They're not going to be able to pass it on to the next person. And the same is with our Christian lives. If you haven't received God's love in your life, if you don't truly know God's love, how do you expect to give to others? How do you expect to be able to lead someone to the Lord? How do you expect to fulfill the great commission that God has given us? God's commands, we're not going to be able to obey them. We don't have received God's love. We have to realize what God has done for us. And many times in our Christian lives, we just go walking through our lives, careless of others around us many times, seeing many people walking straight to hell, and we're just stepping aside, not saying a word. And I'm continually struck by this idea every single time that we are possibly the last person they have that can share them the gospel. And you, all of us here tonight, are possibly the last person they could have of a hope of not going to hell, of having peace in their heart, knowing that they're going to heaven when they die, having that relationship with God. You know, I was talking with Brent. He was in the back seat with me on the trip back here, and we're talking to Marvin. Marvin was asking me, why do you even want to serve God with your life? Like, why do you want to become like a church planner or whatever? Why don't you want to do something else? And you know, it was a good open conversation, and just kind of reestablished in my mind why I'm serving God. You know, I think about it, and many times when I think of the Christian life, I think of Christian life as when we try and reach others, the lost, as we're holding a rope, and on the other end of the rope, hanging over the cliff, is the lost person. And you're holding onto that rope. Now you have the option of pulling up on that rope or letting it go. And every single time we run into someone in our life that does not know the gospel, that does not know Christ, and God tells you, tell that person about the gospel. Tell them about my love for them. I love them. Do you love them? Is your love in me? Show them God's love. And we're holding on to the rope. And we have a decision to make. Are we going to let go? Say, no, I can't do that. I can't. I got other things to do right now. I'm not going to do that. We just ignore God's voice. Are we listening to God's voice? Say, do you want me to obey God? Because I love him. I can't pass up this opportunity. Do you want, I love them just as much as God loves them. Is God's love truly in us? If God's love is truly in us, it will change our Christian lives. You know, spending an hour out of the day. That's one thing that we're challenged with as students out of Baptist College of Ministry. We have this class we take, a prayer class, and we're challenged each day to spend an hour of prayer with God. Meaning to you, I don't know how long you spend with God each day, but we're challenged to spend an hour of the day with God. And at first, it can be kind of hard. But after a while, it becomes actually pretty easy. There's steps they have you go through each section, go through, and it helps you out through different sections. And after spending an hour with God, it's like, do you want, spending an hour with God is just not enough. I got to do more. I got to spend more time with God. No, then reaching out to others becomes more of a priority. We want to spend more time with others. And then whenever trials come to our lives, temptations, when we're faced with them, you want failing and choosing the wrong choice doesn't become an option anymore because we truly have God's love in our life and we realize what God has done for us is more important than realizing what we want to do in our lives. Our choices don't become that important anymore. Rather, we want God's love in our life. And once we have God's love in our life, we'll choose to keep his commandments. We'll choose to obey him. So how's that looking in your life, Christian? Are you obeying God's commandments? Are you keeping his love? That's one way we can test God's love in our life. Simply just by looking at our life. Looking to God's word, meditating on it, reading through God's word and seeing what God has for us, saying, is there something you have for me, God? And when he points out something, he points out a command that he wants us to obey. Are we going to obey it? If we obey it, we have God's love in our life. So we choose to love God. What are you doing with God's love in your life? God loves you beyond more than we can even understand. Are you having God's love in your life so you can give to others? There's a lost and dying out world out there that needs us. And we just can't pass them up. Many times we just pass them up because of our own pride. Choosing our way first rather than God's. So that's my challenge for you guys tonight, something that God has worked with me both in, kind of ties into my last message I preached on humility as well, but those two key points have been a life-changing thing for me, my life. So do you guys have God's love in your life? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this challenge you're able just to change me, Lord. Change the way I view things, Lord. It's no longer something I have to do. I have to try to keep your love, Lord. Rather, I just have to meditate in your word, Lord, realizing how much you love me because you loved me first, Lord. Because of that, we're able to love others. Lord, I thank you for this challenge to be able to change me, Lord. I pray that many others here tonight, Lord, just take that to heart, Lord. May it be something that can change their lives. Maybe something we can take to heart, Lord, be able to reach others. I pray that as we continue on through our lives, Lord, even in these upcoming weeks, that we should have your love shining through our lives. In your own name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, David. God spoke into your heart concerning the love of God that he's shown to you, and what meager love we return because of that. Instruments begin playing in just a few moments. Altars will be open. If God can speak to your heart, if you allow him to do business with you tonight, you come and kneel at an old-fashioned altar and pray. If you need to speak to me, I'll be down front to greet you. As the instruments begin playing, let's stand together.